Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of Life is No Coincidence. And with me today is my special guest, Yvonne Perry, author of 12 books and also a freelance ghostwriter, podcast host, blogger, and the owner of Writers in the Sky Creative Writing Services. Yvonne is a graduate of the American Institute of Holistic Theology with a B.S. degree in metaphysics and speaks at many events on a wide variety of spiritual topics such as psychic gifts, empathy, ghosts, afterlife, and near death and other spiritually transforming experiences. In her book, Whose Stuff Is This?, Yvonne provides a much-needed guidebook for people who are empaths. Hello, Yvonne. What a pleasure to be with you today.
Hello, Cheryl. It's a great pleasure to be your guest. Thank you for having me.
Well, Yvonne, as listeners of this radio show know, Healing From Within is a show designed to encourage ways to explore the energetic nature of life, how to receive and share energy and thoughts, and understand behavior in ways that benefit our well-being. In today's episode, you and I are going to examine how so many people are unaware of the effect others have on their moods and health, and we will offer ways to evaluate and improve how we can regulate all energy directed from others to us and from us to others for better health. Overloading and energy coming in from other people's fears and negative emotions can lead us to internalize these feelings into our own energy system, leading to unhappiness and often making us quite sick. Yvonne, let's begin today with a definition of empathy and describe some of the common characteristics highly empathic individuals possess.
Okay. Well, empathy, of course, as you know, is the ability to feel for someone else. You feel sorry for them, you care about them, you show compassion. But an empath or an empathic person may have a greater ability to sense those feelings of others. They may do this so deeply that they take on the energetic burdens of others as if that energy were their own, and they begin to experience life or kind of live vicariously through the energy of another person. And what I mean by that is it can affect their mood, their mental thoughts, and even their physical health as they are carrying energetic burdens that do not belong to them.
Well, and many times I would imagine this starts in childhood, and the children, of course, and the parents don't have any idea of why the children are so sensitive. Would that be true?
That was certainly my experience and what I have also seen in other families. I was the one that they called the weak one, the crier, the one who was overly sensitive, wears a feelings on her shoulders. Those are the few of the labels that I picked up as an empathic child, not really understanding why I felt things that other people didn't feel.
Well, I was that way also, but I didn't even know I was feeling things that other people weren't feeling. I just thought they all knew what I knew, and that made things even more challenging. But Yvonne, is this empathic quality governed by neurological or chemical reactions of the body?
That's a good question. It could be, of course, it could be a brain development issue. I know that I had several near-death experiences when I was younger that opened me up more to the spirit world, and that could definitely play into it. As the brain develops in a child, those psychic abilities or empathic abilities tend to close down somewhat as we learn what is acceptable and not acceptable to talk about with our family and with society. But I think it's also something that we intuitively or maybe are gifted with and that we pick up from others just by being one with others. We are divinely connected, so it's not a great mystery that we are able to tap into one another's auric fields and gather information about another person. In fact, when we're children, we kind of do that to know who is safe and what is safe to be around. We kind of test the waters energetically. And we don't learn how to set boundaries and turn that off to as we age, and then we just keep right on picking up those things from other people, not realizing that we're kind of nosing around where we have no business to be, and many times to our own detriment.
Well, I think neuroscience has demonstrated that there are some connections or pathways that help us read and sense and feel other people's feelings. And these neurons, highly charged or more sensitive in empaths, may be the foundation. And also, I think oxytocin, we hear a lot about that, the love hormone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and new research seems to indicate that people who are most empathic seem to have a variation of this receptor gene for oxytocin. So I guess the central nervous system of an empath may be more sensitive than others not as inclined in this direction.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be very well 25% of the population are exhibiting these tendencies. So it is a sensitivity, and I think it's a heightened awareness because of the central nervous system working at such a high level and picking up so much from the environment. Now, are empaths by their very nature intuitive and even psychic? And how can empathy and intuition, well, how are they different? They're not exactly the same.
No, I don't think they're exactly the same. They're very much subsets of one another. I think our intuition is our internal guidance system that can include many things as far as clairaudience or clairsentience, clairseeing, where we have different psychic gifts in operation. But I think that as part of that intuitive package, under that heading comes the gift of empathy, where maybe an empath has all of those abilities working a little more keenly than, say, the average person who maybe only has one of those particular avenues open more than others.
Well, I kind of feel over the last, you know, I was born as an empath but didn't know it, and I was intuitive but didn't know it. I thought everyone else thought and knew what I knew. But I have, over the many years of studying this, decided that empathy is the ability to feel, to really feel the internal experiences and thoughts of another. And it's coming in more through the body and through the perhaps aura of a person physically.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe intuition is a spiritual sense or connection to guides or souls or information beyond this earth plane that gives us information that has not been disclosed to anyone, that no one could know. And with that information, it helps to make impartial decisions if we follow the clues. So one is more a physical thing, and intuition is more a connection to higher source or divine energy or souls or whatever we think of that exists out of the body after this life. That's how I've sort of over the years seemed to discover it for myself.
Right, and I think the gift of empathy, like you said, it is a clairsentient gift or a feeling gift that resonates within the body through the lower chakras.
Mm-hmm.
And with that gift being undeveloped, it can cause all kinds of things because you are so open and you're picking up so much stuff and not always to your benefit. Some of it is very detrimental. But with training, an empath can learn to use the upper chakras and convert some of that psychic energy that they're sensing, feeling with their body and taking in through the lower chakras, and begin to use the third eye and the clear knowing, that open channel in the seventh chakra at the top of the head, to receive that same type of guidance without having to use your body as a barometer for what's going on around you.
Absolutely.
That's one of the things I teach.
Yes, me too. And that's when sensitives come to me, and they are struggling and having so many symptoms, such as anxiety attacks, agoraphobia, feeling other people's emotions, getting moody and unhappy, even developing fibromyalgia. Things like this are happening because they're so much into other people's feelings, and they haven't learned ways to disengage and turn off and keep themselves in an area where they're protected. And they don't know how to do it because they don't quite know what's happening to them. They think a lot of people think they're hypochondriacs and they think they just have a lot of health issues. And it's not so. They just are very sensitive to the world around them and to people's emotions. Now, in what occupations are many empaths and intuitives found? If you were to examine that, where would you find them?
They're in a lot of service-oriented positions, like nurses or doctors, healthcare workers of a variety of types, even hospice workers, policemen, people who serve the general public, who are called upon in a compassionate manner to minister to others, whether that be one-on-one or to a group. A physician may have a large practice, but the concern is that one-on-one with another person and that desire to heal or to help or to better the life of another person. Empaths tend to be very caring individuals with a lot of love and light in their heart and in their aura, and I believe that's one of the reasons that some of the dark energy or so many people are drawn to empaths, because they see that light and recognize it as a source of transmutation. What the empath with that gift and that with that ability doesn't realize many times is that they have to work with a higher level of energy in order to transmute it, to not use their body as the transmutation station, but to use a higher source and a higher frequency and call upon higher guidance to be able to help them transmute what they're picking
up. Exactly, so that they don't develop empathy fatigue and illnesses, and they learn how to protect themselves. Exactly. Now, let's describe for our listeners what are some conditions that an empath or a sensitive person, any person who's developing their awareness of other people and wanting to learn more about themselves and others, because this empathic nature is developing more and more now in more people as we evolve spiritually. So what might they be sensitive to in the environment? An example would be many people are sensitive to light, places where there's too much light. And they may need to wear sunglasses or to foods. What else could you say
well,
that
any
they
of
would?
The five senses, for sure. They may be very sensitive to loud noise, or they cannot stand to be in a room where there's a cacophony of noise, where people are talking over here and these people in this corner are trying to out-talk those people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the energy surging and welling and just a great discordant energy in a room is probably one of the things that drives many empaths into a reclusive place at home. Many of them just cannot stand to even go to the shopping mall or any place where there is a lot of energy, kind of like a current flowing that they have no control over.
Well, I'll give our listeners a little example. When I was, let's say, in college, and I would go to a big gathering or a lot of friends at a party, the minute I would walk into the room, I would break out into a sweat right above my lip. I would every time. It was like I wasn't nervous. I wasn't anxious. But there was just too much energy coming at me, and I wasn't aware, actually, that's what was happening until much later. So there are many children. Let's get to the children for a minute, because I'm very concerned about so many children being born with this empathic quality right now, and so many parents and teachers and medical people not really recognizing it and not being able to help them in the right way. So many children today are being diagnosed with sensory issues, sometimes with labels ADD, ADHD, and they tell stories of maybe seeing or feeling experiences while dreaming, and they're just labeled very sensitive, and they do like very often to play by themselves and be off by themselves because they're not able to express that there's too much going on for them and it's frightening them. So many parents and teachers and medical personnel who do not have a clear sense of what empathy and intuition is about may recommend medicine or treatment that's not really going to help these children. What do they really need in order for them to develop and be the gifted individuals they were born to be.
I think we need to look at each case individually and not make a stereotype assumption with any of them. A lot of them are coming in, with, like you said, with gifts of empathy, with other psychic gifts, with their spiritual awareness more open. Their DNA may even be changing and structured differently because we are facing a shift planetarily that is causing us to be more open, and that is, of course, affecting our bodies in many ways. So as far as taking an individual child, let's say he's acting up in class, it could be sensory overload. Let's look at the situation. What's going on in the classroom? When does this behavior seem to be worse? Is it after we've been on a field trip and we've come back and there's just a lot of energy that this child has been exposed to? He's been out of his environment, his safe zone that he has established for himself. Is it because he's facing stress? Is there a problem at home? You've got to look at so many different factors. And then once you've kind of determined that this child truly is empathic and that that is the root of their problem, then there can be some very solid information, some exercises, visualizations. Children are so imaginative anyway. To give them a visualization that they can use to ground and center their energy is very beneficial. The reason being, these children have so much energy of their own, and then they're picking up more energy. It's like a live electric cord, and there's no place for the energy to go. It needs to be grounded. In other words, sent down a grounding prong or a cord of light from their body or feet into the earth so that they can be grounded in the earth energy, which is very stabilizing, while they are bringing in and anchoring some of these higher energies that we so need. We need these children, and we need to help them learn to manage energy. I think if there's anything
exactly
that we are here for, is to learn to manage energy, the right use of energy.
All of us are here to learn how to give the right energy and the right expression and communication, and to share and receive energy that is good for us. So, Yvonne, also children sometimes show bouts of depression and anger. I was a teacher. I work with occupational therapists and alternative healers who are working with many sensitive grown-ups and children, and they're showing them how to work with this. So if we see a child having this bout of depression or anger, you just really did say how we should approach it, but I want the parents out there to know that there's something they really need to do. They really need to respect their child and really need to see there is always a legitimate reason, and to note what situation or who triggers or sets off the episode. Because the children may be telling us about visual images or dreams or places where they're not comfortable to go, and there are reasons, and many parents, I have seen it repeatedly, just keep trying to put the child back into the same environment without offering enough love and enough honor and respect for the uniqueness of the child. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, and they're not giving the child resources as well. You can't just give them a change of environment. You've got to give them some resources, some tools to deal with. Learning how to ground and center their energy, learning how to, because these kids are not going to fit into a traditional classroom as easily as, say, your average child that doesn't have these clairsentient gifts. So you could change the environment if you could change the public school system,
that,
you know, we've been trying to do for so long, but it's better to give the child coping tools so that he understands how to manage the energy overload and the sensory input that he's receiving.
All right, yes. So we're working on more teachers, the school system, parents, educators, medical personnel, more people really understanding the way to approach this so it becomes a win-win situation and everybody benefits, and we can benefit from the talents and gifts that these people bring to our lives. Now, in your book, you told a story of a 13, I know I emailed you this story too, because it was funny for me, a 13-year-old girl, Iris, who didn't want to go on the family outing for a fishing trip. And when she got there, she told her father that she heard someone crying for help and no one else heard it. And then a little while later, other family members came crying and screaming that someone had been lost, and it was Danny, who was Iris's 16-year-old cousin, and he had drowned. So Iris's father was actually angry at this child, this girl, and told her never to tell the story to anyone. But what did Iris really have? What were her abilities, and what was happening that she was able to pick this scenario up before it happened?
Well, she had a gift of precognizance, where she actually could sense something about to happen, where she was picking up on danger that was in the environment. She tried very diplomatically to get her father to cancel the trip. He would not hear of it. He was very devout in his faith, and these things just did not fit in with the box. The lid wouldn't close on the box if you put that in there. So we are just going to take that out of there so we can keep that lid of our limited beliefs intact, and we don't have to change. But you see the result of that.
If they knew that she had disability and they honored it, yes, they might have changed the course of destiny. Some things can be changed. Other things in our life plan cannot. But sometimes an empath or an intuitive is able to help make a difference by a different decision in people's lives. Now, going on with this story a little bit with Iris, here is a coincidence for our listeners. My middle name is Iris, and years ago, while at the ocean, I was meditating, and all of a sudden, I had a frightened feeling in my stomach, and I sensed a young boy in a vortex being pulled down. I wasn't even sure what it was, and I was frightened, so I pulled myself out of the meditation, and it was late in the evening. At the boardwalk, there weren't many people, and I noticed a helicopter, and I started to walk towards my car. And all of a sudden, I saw a lot of lifeguards, and they were in a line attached by a rope going into the water. And I started to cry because I understood in that moment, not before what was happening, but in that moment when I saw the people, I knew the boy had drowned. And the next day, I read about him in the newspaper. He was 13. He was an honor student. He came from Brooklyn, where I had lived. And this is the same type of story. I could not have changed anything about what happened that day. But for sensitives to pick this up, it sometimes shows us that life and the future has been planned somewhat, and we have to accept some of the things that happen. Some things we can change and some things we cannot. And also, Yvonne, you had another story in your book about Sarah and Greg. Do you remember the story of Sarah, who was in the car accident, and her husband, Greg, how he responded when she told him she had a near-death experience and communicated with Jesus? And after her recovery, she was very empathic and could feel people's health issues.
Yeah, that was in the chapter that Dr. Karen Good wrote on the four core temperaments and how that traumatic experiences like that can change us. Yeah, I remember the story.
Yeah. Would you tell our listeners something about that?
Well, what Sarah did was she tried to relate to her husband the experience that she had had and how that she was changed. And what he was, in his linear understanding of life rather than an encompassing or a greater spiral of life, he understood time in linear measures, which meant, okay, there's something wrong with Sarah. She needs psychiatric help. This must be the result of a head injury. There was always going to be some physical reason why she was behaving the way she was and why she was saying, he did not believe, but why she was saying that she had these new gifts. And it took time for him to, I don't know that he ever did come to the understanding that she actually had opened up as a result of a near-death experience and had received the ability to tap into other dimensions. He still wanted some kind of physical explanation to it, but I think Sarah came to understand that even if she didn't have the support of her husband, she could not invalidate her experience.
Of course not. But You know what I liked in that story? Sarah saw a second doctor, not the first doctor who wanted her to take medication. And he explained about this new diagnostic category for religious and spiritual experiences that was now being listed in a new statistical manual, the fourth edition. And this doctor showed a non-judgmental approach and gave suggestions to make her comfortable with what she had experienced. And, but too often people like Sarah, who have a gift and a new awareness and a new connection to spiritual guidance from a different plane of life beyond here, are made uncomfortable. And they need to go to health practitioners, non-traditional health practitioners, like, you know, intuitive, holistic, or spiritual healers, and like other energy healers, hypnotherapists, Chinese medical practitioners, people that work with the mind and body connection. And probably Sarah's husband never came to understand that she didn't have a health issue, but she had developed a more heightened intuitive gifts. And these gifts are just as common and useful as gifts of music and art and dance, and can take us to a new level of feeling compassion and love in a new way. And as I said earlier, 25% of the population now are experiencing these new ways of understanding energy, how to deal with their own life, how to surround themselves with people who are better for their development. And it's like Cheryl Richardson, she's a spiritual teacher, and she once said, if it doesn't feel good, don't do it. And that goes for picking friends, hobbies, places to spend time, I guess, job positions you consider, and all relationships. Would you say that's good advice for empaths?
Oh, absolutely. That's right at the top of my list on following your heart. One way that I make decisions is I put before myself two options, and I go by what feels joyful, what feels pleasant. If it doesn't feel right, then it doesn't go on my plate.
And that's what I think we want the people listening today to realize. To stop the intrusion, any intrusion into a personal space of our thoughts, and not allow anyone to steal our energy and our sense of well-being and bring us into situations that will diminish our creativity. And this is holding on to our personal energy and power. And this is learning to deal with ourselves and people so that we can have the best quality of health and life. Thank you, Yvonne. Thank you, Yvonne.
Thank you, Cheryl.
For being on my show today. And thank you, Yvonne, author of Whose Stuff Is This? And to learn more about recognizing and developing your own empathic and intuitive abilities, go to weareoneinspirit.com. In summarizing today's show, I would like to read a passage from Yvonne's book, showing us the way to develop a healthier, empathic, and intuitive version of ourselves, and offering us the rewards of making use of this ability to sense emotions and thoughts of those around us. The quote reads, "To understand divine power, you must absorb and study the sacred texts of your own society, and then go beyond their interpretation in order to begin to know a higher code of conduct. Try on many points of view other than just those taught to you as a child. Integrate many points of view from different cultures. Every perspective has something to offer and is an important part of the whole. As we all have personal power and sensitivity to each other, so Yvonne and I suggest that all of us begin to grow this gift of empathy and intuition, and use it wisely to make our world and life a place where we can allow everyone the space to be themselves. I am your host, Cheryl Glick. Please join me on webtalkradio.net or the radio page of my website, CherylGlick.com, for a fascinating look at the shifts and changes in today's views on health, energy medicine, and intuitive development.